This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Friday, August 27th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the Front Range has a new way to monitor air quality. It's part of a settlement with one of the state's worst polluters. And Community Cycles is throwing a party this weekend, and you're invited. We'll hear what's in the works. At 8:30 this morning, Connections comes your way. Host Roger Wendell will have two guests today, Colorado Mountain Club's Conservation Director Julie Mack, and in the second half, CU Boulder Geography Department Chair Jennifer Fleury. Then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative will kick your weekend off right with an eclectic mix of music until noon. All that is still coming up, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
Last evening, the Supreme Court announced a 6-3 decision suspending the Biden administration's extended eviction moratorium that was to have ended October 3rd. Prior to the announced ruling by the Supreme Court, the Federal Treasury on Wednesday announced additional policies to encourage state and local governments to expedite payments of emergency rental assistance funds. One of the policies is to allow self-attestation by applicants indicating relief is needed due to the pandemic instead of requiring proof of income that may not be available. The Colorado Sun analyzed Colorado's data as shown by the U.S. Treasury Department as part of its announcement. As of July 31st, the Colorado Department of Local Affairs has only disbursed about $33 million of its $444 million in federal rental relief funds. That's just slightly over 7% of available funds. According to the Colorado Sun, relief that was approved to renters from the state prior to August 1st should be paid within 2 weeks. Colorado's Attorney General Phil Weiser announced yesterday a tentative agreement with officials from Colorado's local governments on how to spend present and future settlement funds from opioid manufacturers. Colorado is expected to receive more than $300 million as part of a pending multi-state settlement with the drug companies AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, McKesson, and Johnson & Johnson, along with $100 million from previous settlements from other drug manufacturers, including Purdue Pharma. According to the Denver Post, 60% of the settlement funds will be distributed across 19 regional collaboratives that will have their own governing boards to assess and address regional needs. 20% will go to local governments, 10% to the Attorney General's office, and 10% to build treatment facilities. The U.S. Department of Education will make $1.1 billion in loan forgiveness discharges available to 115,000 borrowers who attended the now-defunct ITT Technical Institute. Steve Miller has more.
The Department of Education announced yesterday that their decision is based on a new review of the problems leading up to ITT's closure. The borrowers had to have not completed their degree or credential and left ITT on or after March 31, 2008. The department estimates that 43% of these borrowers are currently in default. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said that ITT engaged in widespread misrepresentations about its financial health and lured students into taking misleading and unaffordable private loans that were allegedly portrayed as grant aid. ITT also made exaggerated claims about its graduates' success in finding jobs and misled students about their ability to transfer course credits to other colleges. ITT Technical Institute was closed in 2016 after being given sanctions by the Obama administration. The Obama administration moved to make it easier for students to get loans erased, but that decision was reversed by the Trump administration, which wrote its own rules, making it tougher to get relief. Locally, the loan forgiveness includes borrowers in ITT schools that were located in Westminster and Aurora. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
This week, the town of Erie announced the deployment of 10 air quality monitoring stations, which are operated by Ajax Analytics and Colorado State University. According to the town's announcement, the stations are located near oil and gas well pads and in adjacent neighborhoods as part of the town's air quality monitoring program. Data from the stations is expected to be released to the public later this year. The Denver Public Library has announced cardholders can borrow without cost one of the 5 Denver Tool Library membership passes that are held by the DPL system. Users will be able to check out a maximum of 10 tools for up to a week, which includes up to 3 power tools. According to the library's announcement, the Denver Tool Library holds a collection of over 5,000 tools for do-it-yourself projects, home repair, remodeling, lawn and garden care, van, bus conversions, and more. Along with being a tool lender, the Denver Tool Library also conducts workshops and classes. The City of Boulder has a new platform for assessing city services as part of a Google Fellowship and pro bono program for municipalities and nonprofits. User experience researcher Elizabeth Dressler, who is employed at the Google campus in Boulder, worked with city staff for 6 months to build a website platform called Boulder for Me. Its aim is to serve as a one-stop shop for residents to research, connect, and to apply for a range of services such as childcare subsidies to residential solar power grants. Starting today and running through Sunday, the Yesteryear Farm Show, located outside of Longmont's Doherty Museum, will showcase antique tractors, cars, and trucks, along with demonstrations ranging from farm equipment doing threshing and baling, and techniques such as blacksmithing, spinning, and weaving. According to the Daily Camera, this year's farm show will display roughly 20 Gibson tractors, as this year marks the 75th anniversary of the Gibson Manufacturing Corporation, which made tractors in Longmont and in Seattle, Washington. The Boulder County Community Planning and Permitting Department and the Colorado Department of Transportation will host a virtual meeting this Monday, August 30th, to get community input on the conceptual design of a paved off-street multi-use path that will be part of the Colorado State Highway 119, also known as the Diagonal, between Longmont and Boulder. According to the Longmont Times Call, upgrade plans for the Diagonal include bus rapid transit and intersection improvements, with construction occurring in 2022 and 2023. Today in Boulder and Denver, there's a 10% chance of thunderstorms after 5 p.m. Today's highs will be near 89 degrees for Boulder and near 91 for Denver. The current temperature outside the Boulder studios is 64 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. The Front Range has been under air quality alerts more often than not this summer. Lawmakers and community activists held a meeting this week to discuss Colorado's increasingly dire air quality issues and a new way of monitoring them. Alexis Kenyon reports.
At one point this summer, the Denver metro area had the worst air quality of any major city in the world. After consecutive weeks of smoky skies, it seemed like bad air quality was all people wanted to talk about in Colorado. During Monday's air quality panel, the meeting host, Renee Chacon from AmeriCorps Vista, said, "While a lot of people might be noticing bad air for the first time, communities of color have been suffering for years."
Did you know that 80216 zip code in Denver is the worst polluted zip code in the United States? It is.
80216 is a neighborhood in North Denver that includes Globeville and Commerce City and is about 85% Latino. It's also home to Suncor Refinery, the state's largest point source of greenhouse gas emissions. Suncor's refinery has operated for about 90 years. It produces gas, aviation fuel, and other toxic chemicals that pollute the air and seep into the groundwater. Colorado House Representative Alex Valdez says he and his colleagues agree on one thing.
This is environmental racism. It is not a matter of chance that not only is 80216 affected with the pollution that's created by Suncor, but also the highway and then the soil. The soil in 80216 has arsenic, and there's all of these problems, and they're concentrated within this community that is predominantly people of color.
From 2017 to 2019, Suncor's equipment broke down on average once every 3 weeks. During that period, the refinery exceeded pollution limits 500 times. in 2020 as part of a $9 million settlement for this damage and attempts to downplay the severity, Suncor agreed to fund an air quality monitoring system. The system will be the first time neighbors have been able to get real-time updates on air quality. Representative Alex Valdez says it's the least the company can do.
We have to continue to look at this as a human rights issue. It's affecting people who have the least amount of resources to advocate for themselves. So we have to continue the fight, and we have to look at it like we're fighting for people's lives, because that's what we're doing.
But the pollution doesn't stop in North Denver or with Suncor. Across the state, Colorado continues to subsidize oil and gas. In recent years, fracking has caused Colorado to become one of the nation's major contributors to methane gas emissions. Kate Christensen is the oil and gas campaign coordinator for 350 Colorado. She says the state isn't holding responsible parties accountable.
What I find really frustrating about all these different processes is we've got, you know, the CDPHE, the AQCC, the COGCC, that like all these different entities are doing these small rulemakings that all kind of have to do with air quality. And by law, we're supposed to be looking at cumulative impacts, but it doesn't seem like anybody is. When the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission approves oil and gas permitting for Adams County, they don't talk about the impacts that Suncor is already putting into the atmosphere, but they should be. And there's the Cherokee plant. Who's looking at the sum total and protecting people? Somebody should. And I think that everything is so piecemeal, no one's got their head around the big picture.
Adams County Commissioner Steve Odorizio says the only way for something to get done is for state and local governments to work together.
Suncor currently has 2 water permits pending right now. Air quality Title V permit pending right now.
Suncor's Title V permit outlines how many dangerous emissions Suncor can release, including cancer-causing volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, nitrogen oxide, and hydrogen cyanide. The nitrogen oxide and VOCs combined create ozone, which is the chemical compound that air quality experts have warned about for years. The new Title V permit would allow Suncor to release even more of all of these pollutants into the atmosphere, says Odorizio.
These are opportunities for us to try to stop the problem from getting any worse by imposing and requirements, asking for the government to help us impose requirements to stop and reduce the pollution that's happening. And then only then can we go to the next stage, which is to restore. And that's where we've got to restore and rehabilitate our ecosystems and do the cleanups that need to be done.
In May, the State Air Quality Board held listening sessions with the community to discuss renewing Suncor's Title V permit. Again, Kate Christensen of 350 Colorado.
I mean, they had residents coming forward and talking about their family members dying of cancer, themselves getting cancer. You know, 10-year-old boys with asthma were talking about how awful it is to go out and play.
Despite the community protest after the listening session, the State Air Quality Board announced that the state would likely approve the permit. As of now, Suncor is still waiting. But Christensen says if Coloradans want to do something about climate change, they need to change the playbook.
Someone's got to be brave. We're in a crisis. Someone has to be brave and say, no, this is done. You're done.
In the meantime, Suncor continues to operate under the expired Title V permit. Christensen says if the state does approve Suncor's Title V permit, it will go to the Environmental Protection Agency, at which point advocates will have another chance to protest. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
Vehicles cumulatively account for more greenhouse gas emissions in Colorado than industrial facilities. One way you can prevent air pollution is to ride a bike whenever possible. And Boulder-based cycling advocacy group Community Cycles aims to make that transition as easy and supported as possible. And they're throwing a membership party tomorrow. Vladimir Flores stopped by their building on Spruce Street and spoke with Executive Director Sue Prant.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Community Cycles will be holding a membership party this weekend. What's in the plans for the event itself?
Well, we're celebrating bicycling and our members at Community Cycles. So we're going to have bike games. We're going to have a live auction, a silent auction, food, drink, music, a DJ, and just lots of fun here at our shop at 2601 Spruce.
I saw in the announcement that attendees are being asked to show proof of vaccination. What went into that decision?
So we are asking people over 12 to show proof of vaccination, and children under 12 we're asking to wear a mask. We just want to keep our community safe. Community Cycles is requiring masks indoors right now in our shop, and we felt that this was the best way, especially considering that we have food and drink at the party, that people could enjoy themselves and feel safe doing so.
Community Cycles has been gradually reopening its workshops to the public since the start of the pandemic. What services are available to members, and what is still holding or pending?
So we do have most of our classes reopened at this point. Our Fix-A-Flat class is free for anyone. You don't have to be a member, and that's offered twice a month. Then we have our basic maintenance class, which is offered twice a month, and you can be a member or not be a member. It's just a little bit different price. We have our Complete Mechanics series, which is a six-session class, and that's also open to everybody with a fee. So basically most everything has come back at this point. Our retail shop has been back almost, a year now. We move a lot of stuff outside, so a lot of the shopping you do is outside. Our DIY, which is for members to sign up and work on their own bikes. The thing that's changed about that in the pandemic is now you have to schedule a spot. So you come in, but it's great because there's two instructors. So there's actually more attention than prior to the pandemic. And by registering for a spot, we know what you're coming in to work on. So we're prepared to have you work on that and to help you work on that. So I think most of the people who are using the DIY shop find that it's actually improved quite a bit, even though there's a little bit more preparation before you come.
And it's kids friendly, the workshops?
The workshops are for people 16 and older. The party is definitely kid friendly. We have other events that are for children, but because of insurance and tools and stuff like that, the workshops tend to be 16 and older, just because some of the tools are a little scary.
Okay. Community Cycles has also launched a new initiative to give electric bikes to essential workers. Can you talk, please, more about that program?
So that program is through Can Do Colorado, funded by the Colorado Department of Energy, and we are giving our last four bikes away today. We've given away, total, we'll give away 50 electric bikes to essential workers, and they had to apply to get the bike. And it was based on, are they an essential worker, and then income and how much would they use the bike. And they do need to track their usage for 2 years. So as part of the program. So right now we have the results in from about a month of the first group tracking it. And we're seeing really great results of people using bikes much more than they would have normally. And mostly probably because they're electric, so that they're able to. Really, almost anybody at any skill is able to replace a car trip with a bicycle trip. And they're also given panniers and helmets and locks and things like that. So so they're really set to go, and a little bit of instruction. And so that's a program. It's a really great program, and we hope that the state and other funders will continue to operate these programs, because it's really important to give people alternatives to cars, even people who are maybe less physically capable to do longer bike rides.
For people who aren't already members of Community Cycles, or whose memberships may have lapsed, Are there any initiatives available during Saturday's party to encourage people to sign off?
Yeah, sure. So everybody who signs up on Saturday will get a $20 gift card that they can use at the shop on anything. All members will get a $30 Nude Foods gift card, so they don't have to be a member of Nude Foods or have a subscription. They can just go and spend their $30 and try it out, and there's no obligation to buy more. But hopefully they'll say, hey, this is a great thing, and I'll shop there more. So there's many benefits, and then all the benefits you get from membership, access to DIY program, classes, and then the most important things we do is really we advocate for safe places for people to walk and ride a bike. And so your membership adds your voice to ours, so we can speak louder and really get the city and the county and the state to make our streets more friendly and safe for bicycles and pedestrians.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add to my questions? Something that I don't touch in my questions?
No, we're always happy to partner with KGNU, and KGNU has been a great partner over the years, and we really appreciate that. One thing to note is that Bike to Work Day this year is September 22nd, which is different because it's normally the third Wednesday in June. But because of COVID, it was moved to September 22nd. We're still working on breakfast stations. KGNU is committed, but we could use more breakfast stations. But also encourage people to sign up and participate and get out there and ride your bike. It should be a great day.
Thank you very much. I have been speaking with Sue Pratt, Executive Director of Community Cycles in Boulder. For KGNU, I am Vladimir Flores.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Stacey Johnson, Steve Miller, Alexis Kenyon, and Vladimir Flores for their work on today's program. You can find today's stories and more on our website, news.kgnu.org. Hat tip to Hannah Lee Myers for keeping it current. Do you have something to say about something you heard on KGNU? Give us a call and leave a message at 303-447-9911. We play listener comments back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25.